The following program is part of the Inner Circle Podcasting Group. Go to innercirclecomics.com for more high-quality podcasts.
Well done, my Doom Patrol. Well done.
G'day, everyone. Welcome to Waiting for Doom, the Doom Patrol podcast for the comic that isn't published at the moment by the two blokes who love the comic that isn't published at the moment.
Yes, hello. I'm Mike. You can find me on Twitter at avantgarve. You can reach us at waitingfordoom@gmail.com or on the Waiting for Doom Facebook page. And all our episodes are available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and podbean.com. And you can check out our fellow comic-related podcasters as part of the Inner Circle Comics group.
And I'm Paul, and you can find me on Twitter at reading_hicks. And we also have a Twitter show account, which is called Wilfred, and Wilfred is sentient. So that's different to most podcasts.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Hamish and Andy don't have that. Anyway.
No, they don't. What's Wilfred's Twitter handle?
It's at WFDpod. Nice prompt, Mike. That was very smooth. No one would notice that I didn't say it now.
Smooth and like a segue. Anyway, this week on the show, we will be looking at a miniseries from late 1999, early 2000, and it's the Beast Boy miniseries. Written by
Beast Boy, hit that perfect beat. Sorry.
Wow. Written by Mr.
I'm in a silly mood, sorry. Yeah, sorry.
I wonder why you're in a silly mood. You've been away for a few weeks, Paul. What have you been up to?
Every now and again, my family, the Hickses, we jump on a ship and sail away. So we left Sydney a couple of weeks ago and sailed off into Noumea, I think. So, yeah, but honestly, I don't really care where we go anymore. I just like being on a ship because I drive about 1,500 k's a week, so it's nice not to drive on my holiday.
Sit back and let someone else take the wheel, literally.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, we had a little cruise of the islands, saw Noumea again. It's like my fourth trip to Noumea, which is, you know, I know where everything is. There's no comic shops there.
Right.
We went to Mystery Island, and we saw the mysterious huts in the middle of Mystery Island with the mysterious toilet and all the mysterious tourists all over it. And we went to Mare, and it's a good time. Relaxing. But the main thing was we lots of time on the ship. My wife and I watched all of Jessica Jones in our cabin and in various bars around the ship. So, you know.
how apt, because there's a fair bit of drinking in that show too. What did you think of Jessica Jones?
It's very, very good. It's probably maybe two eps too long, two or three. But, how good was David Tennant?
Oh, brilliant job. I mean, horrible character, but brilliant job by Mr. Tennant, definitely, yes.
Having his powers, you'd be like, well, this is really convenient, and within 2 days, I reckon you would have killed someone.
Yeah, Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if you're a good person like me and, you know, a relative under control psychopath like you, I don't think.
You bastard, sir. So did you read any sort of comic related stuff or anything at all while you're on holidays?
Well, yeah, I took comics with me. So I had Multiversity, the hardcover deluxe edition.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I had Sandman Overture, the hardcover deluxe edition.
Oh.
So some hefty volumes there. So yes. I read those.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be honest, Mike. I think I understood about 60% of Multiversity and about 50% of Sandman.
I think that's a fair call for both of them. I think Overture, it's a beautiful to look at story. I can't fault that,
yep.
But to actually make sense of it, fair call. And fair call with Multiversity too. I mean, yeah, most of it was okay, but, you know.
It was a great party that I don't remember much of afterwards. So.
Oh, one of those.
Both of them, so. Right. Yeah, heavy reading.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I got off the ship and went to the movies and saw a little thing called Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Ooh.
That, I don't think anyone else has seen it. I think it's a bit of an indie art house film.
I think it's very low budget. Yeah. Blinking.
I don't think it's on in many places.
I don't even know if it made it to the States. You know, I don't know. It's an Australian film, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Most famous actors are Australian these days.
Pretty much, yeah. You know,
yeah.
Russell Crowe, Olivia Newton-John. who's that other one? The one that you really like? Hugh Jackman.
Never heard of him.
Haven't you? Right. before we get any sillier, what did you think of episode 7?
I think I'm suffering from a bit of cognitive dissonance because I don't really know what I think. I think it's very good, but I don't feel like I enjoyed it fully.
Okay.
You know, like, I'm not doing the... It's I don't know. It's like with the prequels, you know, it's like a girlfriend who's been banging around and comes back to you and you're not sure how you feel.
Right.
Yeah. But she's come back, definitely.
Right.
What about you, Mike? How was your week? Or do you want to keep talking about Star Wars for a minute?
Look, I'll go in reverse order. I'll start with Star Wars. I really enjoyed it. But there was a lot of it that was very reminiscent of what has come before, which I won't spoil because I'm sure there are some people that, you know, may not have seen it by the, you know.
No spoilers on this podcast.
No, never. None. Yeah. I think there was a lot of it where there was a bit of a sense of deja vu, which I kind of understand to get the audience comfortable and I guess acknowledge what has come before. So I'm really hoping episodes 8 and 9 do their own thing. And
I think it's likely they will because, you know, this has sort of got you back into it.
Yes.
And now they can say, okay, now we're going to show you some new stuff maybe.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think they did everything right.
Yes.
Yes. I don't think they did anything wrong. There's nothing that bugs me about the film.
No, not other than a little bit of deja vu with chunks of it. I thought it was great fun. I mean, I started getting teary-eyed when the opening crawl started, you know, right in the bang at the start of the film, you know. I was like, oh my God. And then a few audible gasps when certain characters appeared on screen for the first time. And yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought it was really good fun. So yeah. As for comics, usual bunch of comics. Batman Robin Eternal was okay and interesting. Ms. Marvel was really good fun. Justice League ramped things up with the Darkseid War. Descender was really good. I'm loving Descender from Image Comics. So yeah, there was a good bunch of stuff for me last week. So and of course, as I'm getting asked for my opinion on certain, you know, end of year lists, so now I have to stop and think, oh God, what came out this year?
I could do your list, I reckon.
No, I would prefer you didn't, sir. Because I know you'll put Jurassic World on there. And, you know, let's agree to disagree on that one. You know? I think the only thing we agreed on regarding Jurassic World was that time you accidentally texted me when we were at Oz Comic Con Brisbane, and you thought I was your wife, and you wanted to just check about getting someone at large. Oh, I can't say that, can I? I'll have to edit this bit out.
No, you can say it now.
Oh, no, I'll let it
it's
all.
It's all unpacked and built now, so it's safe.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yes.
See, listeners, I didn't want to spoil the Christmas surprise.
No, the birthday surprise.
Birthday surprise. Sorry. God, I'm doing so well at this. For Paul's son, Lockie. Because when we're at Oz Comic Con, Paul saw a very large Jurassic World Lego set there. And as he was looking at it, he sent someone a text that he thought was his wife. And he just wanted to, you know, get Mrs. Hicks's opinion on it. But unfortunately, the text came to me. And I was like...
Mike gave me permission to buy it for my son.
That's when you know when podcast buddies are really close.
Do you want to know what's really embarrassing?
What's that?
I discovered a misconception of mine that's been going for 35 years today.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I got the best of Phil Collins, and I've been listening to the best of Phil Collins.
Right.
And it suddenly occurred to me that in the air tonight, the lyrics are not, if I saw you were driving, I would not lend a hand. I suddenly realized it's drowning. Which makes a lot more sense.
Wow. Speaking of hands, I think I see the hands of the doom clock over there that are ticking very loudly.
We're back, folks. We're back.
Oh, dear. Look, let's just take a gander at the doom clock. God. Wow. Okay. So, look, it's the face of the doom clock, and it's telling us that the last book we had for the Doom Patrol was issue 22 of volume 5 from the Giffen Clark run, which was cover dated July 2011 and went on sale May 4th that same year. So it has been 4 years and 33 weeks since the last Doom Patrol book. That's a bit of a bummer.
That's a bloody long time.
It is.
Bloody ridiculous.
It is bloody ridiculous.
Bloody. I'm going to say bloody a lot. Bloody joke. Bloody arrow.
Bloody shame, DC Comics. Bloody shame. The last appearance of the team, however, was only 19 weeks ago in two different comic books. One of those being All-Star Section 8, number 3, where we had a cameo of the team in a huge meeting of all Justice League type heroes. And also in Justice League United, number 12, where we had a one-panel appearance of the team as Stargirl was getting ready to recruit Robot Man into her team for the JLU's next mission. But this week, in Doom Patrol history... On sale for 20 cents on December 26, 1972, was issue 122 of Doom Patrol Volume 1.
What?
Exactly. But wait, Mike, I can hear our listeners cry out. Didn't that volume of Doom Patrol end with issue 121 back in 1968? To which I would
that's
reply.
That's what I thought.
I would reply to you and our dear listeners, yes, that's right, dear patrollers. You are indeed technically correct. So for whatever reason, DC Comics decided to bring back the title in the early 70s, continuing on with the same numbering, which itself continued on from My Greatest Adventure. And they decided to release reprints of earlier stories. So they did this for issues 122 through to 124. So in issue 122, it had two stories. One of those was a backup story from My Greatest Adventure number 76 from 1963, which was 4 issues before the first ever appearance of the Patrol. So that story was called We Battled the Micro Monster. That was done by a Mr. Mort Meskin. Unfortunately, I know nothing of this story because I couldn't find any...
It's the one where they battle the micro monster.
Mike. Ah, oh, the small monster. Right. Okay.
Sounds like I called you micro monster Mike then. I'm sorry.
That's fine, as long as it doesn't become a new nickname, that's fine. However, the main story was the Animal Vegetable Mineral Menace, which was reprinted from Doom Patrol 89 in 1964, which was the, of course, first appearance of AVM Man and created by the super team of Drake and Premiani. So
sweet.
Yeah, that was a good one to reprint, I've got to say. But yeah, a bit surprised that they, you know, they waited 4 years to bring the book back and then just reprint it.
Yeah.
See. Yeah. Anyway, that's it for the Doom Clock this week.
This week on Doomsplaining, we're looking at a mini-series that came out in the end of 1999, when everyone was partying like it was 1999.
Because it was 1999.
So that was why we all partied like it was 1999.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, this is a mini-series called Beast Boy. Beast Boy, not Beast Man, or Beast of a Man, or not Boom.
Not Beat Boy. No.
Anyway, but this was a DC comic about Beast Boy.
Right.
Sorry to... Anyway, and it came out on November 17th, 1999. So a bit over 15 years ago.
Mm.
Anyway, and the cover dated January 2000. It was $2.95 comics, so Yeah, this was up there in price, so that was a fair price for a comic, or not a good price. Anyway, and it was edited by Eddie Berganza, and it was written by two people, one called Benjamin Raab, and Jeff Johns. And penciler was Justiniano, and the inker was Chris Ivey, and it was lettered by Richard Starkings, and the colorist was Jason Wright, with a W, not just an R. Yeah, and it was 4-issue mini, and it was all about Beast Boy, and sort of this was very early DC Jeff Johns. So nice. You had, yeah. Now the reason we're doing this is I think we told everyone that we were doing Titans Doom Patrol appearances from the Jeff Johns run.
That was and, the plan. Yes,
we have plans,
yes.
And like most plans, they change. Because I realised this was really the first brushing up against the Doom Patrol that Jeff Johns did. So I thought, we better go back and cover this.
Mm.
So, yeah. So the first issue was called Nobody's Hero and starts off with, there's a murder in Hollywood, if you can believe such a thing. So there's a man on the run and he goes down an alley and is attacked by a green gorilla. Yeah, he's soon dispatched by this giant green gorilla and a Chinese coin is left on the scene. Then flipping the page, we see Gar Logan, some of his greatest hits on TV, and he's in his manager's office. And he was on a show called, it's like a Star Trek ripoff. It's called Space Trek 2022, and he played a character called Tork, T-O-R-K. So he's like an alien guy. So they saved on special effects by using Gar because he's green. Yeah. So, yeah, and his manager's trying to encourage him to get back into Space Trek 2022 for a revival. And he doesn't. He wants to restart his career. And then he's off walking down Hollywood Boulevard, and he's near Man's Chinese Theatre, and he's looking at a star on the walk which says Rita Farr, and he puts a rose on it.
Oh
yeah, Doom Patrol connections already.
Here we go. Nice.
So Rita is Elastigirl. She's dead at this point, and yeah, he's her adopted son. So yeah, the purpose of this miniseries was really to, I think, position Gar in a more mature light than he was in the Wolfman run of Teen Titans.
Yeah,
but apparently Jeff Johns and Ben Raab both pitched Beast Boy miniseries at the same time.
Okay.
Yeah, and Eddie Berganza just got them to work together rather than do separate stories. And
right.
So they both do Beast Boy story. So it's really hard. I'd be really interested to know which bits were Jeff Johns and which weren't.
Okay.
While he's there in the crowd, there's two people dressed mysteriously, like they've got hats and coats on and you can't see their faces. And suddenly the crowd start gathering around Beast Boy and then start attacking him. And so he turns from a person into a monkey and it's mayhem. There's buses crashing. He has to turn into a whale to act as a giant airbag for the bus. And then he turns into an octopus to do crowd control. And then everyone suddenly snaps out of it and are like, why is Beast Boy attacking us? And then it's on the news and Beast Boy is bewildered. He's not a bewildered beast. He's just bewildered. Anyway.
Yeah, we're back.
Hey. Anyway, he goes to this crappy old apartment block where he catches up with his cousin, Matt Logan, who I've never seen before in the comic.
No.
Matt Logan. Right. And he's a slacker. So he lives in Hollywood. He's one of those people who lives, plays video games all the time, hasn't really got a job, is behind on the rent, etc. And this gives Gar a bit of opportunity to reminisce about his, you know, his history and how he was a regular boy who got sick with a disease called Sakusha, and Paramecium. And he describes... We get a bit of Hollywood talk throughout this comic because he describes the disease as rarer than a good Steven Seagal film.
Oh, God. Right.
Yeah, there are a couple of good ones. There was Extreme. What's the one with the plane? I like that one. Anyway, the one where Steven Seagal dies halfway through and Kurt Russell finishes it.
I don't even know that film at all. Well, whenever you're ready, Paul. Thanks.
Anyway, and then, yeah, he got shape-changing animals' abilities out of the cure, and then he became Doom Patrol's Beast Boy, and then he was adopted by Elastigirl, and then she died, and he sort of got into acting after that. And then he got busy with the Teen Titans, bit of a career, and then the Teen Titans got more unfamiliar as they got very 90s, and then he sort of thought it was time to leave the Titans. So
right.
Anyway, so he's telling it to Matt, his cousin. So around Hollywood, they go out to a club, and at the club, a girl comes up to him, and she's in a Space Trek 2022 outfit and is one of his biggest fans, and throws herself at him, and he sort of is rude and tells her to get lost because he's being a jerk at this point. And then this great big hulking monkey of a man starts pouring this girl, and then Gar has to go and intercede to protect her, and he gets into a fight and gets thrown across the nightclub into the bar, and then he flies over as a bird, and then they go out to the alley to fight, and he immediately gets knocked out by a great big green gorilla fist. And when he wakes up, the guy who attacked the girl is dead. Uh-huh. End of issue one.
Wow.
And the cops have arrived.
Oh, good. Thank goodness.
Yeah. So, yeah, we won't ponder this. We'll just keep going. Anyway, he turns into a lion and gets away from the cops, and then he tries to explain everything, and then he surrenders and gets arrested, and the paparazzi show up and start taking his photo, and he's off to the police station, and, yeah, anyway, he explains it's not his fault, and, yeah, he's in the lockup. Then Flamebird, who's one of his old comrades from Teen Titans, or Titans West, shows up, and she's a bit of a wannabe hero, you know, blonde, bit ditzy, who's, yeah, she's not the brightest. She's not cast as the brightest in this. And she actually turned up later in the Batwoman series, if you remember. Anyone? No?
Some listeners might. Unfortunately, I've not read a lot of Batwoman or Titans West, so I think I know the character you're talking about. She kind of wings that are on fire and hair on fire and
Well, yeah, it's just design. She's not actually on fire. She's not like I think you're thinking of Firehawk
I am.
Anyway, we see that someone else has been reading the headlines on the computers and realized that Gar is in trouble, and it's Nightwing. He's going to come and rescue. Well, come and sort this out. And yeah, anyway, Beast Boy is sitting in his cell looking brooding, sad, and then he hears a laugh at the window and looks out through the bars, and he can see another Beast Boy standing behind a crowd of people. So,
what?
And then he crazy. And then he flies out to see what's going on, and the other Beast Boy gets away, and then the cops show up again because he's just escaped. Yeah. Anyway, and then there's a woman walking along, and she suddenly gets attacked by a green bear. And, yeah, we see her mobile phone left on the ground, broken, and there's another Chinese coin left at the scene. So Gar goes to his cousin's place to see what's going on. And just as he's about to explain what's going on, the door is busted in, and there's two very they're bounty hunters, I would say, and
right.
Their names are Fear and Loathing.
Oh God!
Girl, Fear is so she's got white face makeup with a bit of a raccoon black across, and sort of feathers and fur and guns and Loathing. He looks a bit like a reverse Krusty the Clown with a purple stripe. And, yeah. Anyway, they look better than they sound. It's kind of hard to describe.
Right.
Anyway, so then there's a fight in Matt's apartment, and walls are getting broken. It's all very Jessica Jones. yeah. And Gar turns into a dinosaur and an elephant and a donkey and, you know, lots of fighting going on. And he, just as he's about to get taken out by Fear, the girl, he turns into a scorpion and stings her, and she collapses, but then he gets electrocuted by Loathing, and they escape the scene just as the cops turn up.
A lot of cops in this story.
Yeah, it's all a frame, isn't it? So that issue had exactly the same creative team, and it was called A Face of Mistaken Identity.
Wordplay.
Wordplay. And that one came out in February 2000. Well, cover date February 2000. Actually came out December 22nd, 1999.
Ooh.
Ooh. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So that's almost to the day that we're recording.
Exactly. Yeah. Hence my cool.
Cool. Yeah. Doom Clock didn't pick that up.
I'll tell you why. Because we're talking about a Beast Boy book, not a Doom Patrol book, okay?
I get it. I'm sorry. I tease.
How dare you question the internal workings of the Doom Clock? It's a precise machine.
It's atomically calibrated, the Doom Clock, isn't it?
Thank you.
Yes.
Anyway, tell us about issue 3.
Issue 3. Now, this is called Gemini, and the cover has a lovely picture of Beast Boy or his doppelganger fighting Nightwing.
Oh no!
So there's it's a good cover by Justiniano.
Why must heroes fight heroes all the time? Why?
Because there's one pretending to be a hero, but he's not really. Anyway,
okay.
It opens with a rich guy in his bathrobe who has it's Don Dickerson. And
I thought you were going to say Mento for a second.
No, it's Don Dickerson, and he's got a monogram bathrobe, which is double D, so a little bit daredevil anyway.
Right.
And he's concerned because Tim Bender and Vicky Valiant have both disappeared, and they were stars of Space Trek 2022.
Right.
And he was the producer, and he could be next, so he's talking to the police when suddenly evil Gar Logan comes through his window and turns into a snake.
Cool.
And he collapses. And just as he's about to dispatch Don, Nightwing comes through the window after him and says, "We need to talk, Gar."
It's not Gar, though, is it?
It's not Gar. It's the doppelganger.
Look out, Dick.
Anyway, Don gets away and he calls the police station and says, "You know, I'm being attacked." And naturally, in the police station, the phones are in front of the cell, so Gar can hear this whole conversation.
Well, that's handy.
That's where the police operate, right in front of the cells.
They've got
there's only one phone in the police station.
Oh, God.
Anyway, there's a fight. So it's Nightwing versus Evil Gar. So he turns into a rat and then to a bear, and Nightwing's chucking his excrema sticks, which is always weird to say. And then they all end up, they smash through the window and they end up in the pool struggling, and now the Evil Gar has turned into a snake. It's a pretty cool fight. It's very dynamic. The art by Justiniano is very Scott McDaniel, sort of Nightwing era.
Okay.
So, you know, crazy angles, lots of fisheye views, and I really like it. So Gar's heard all this and realized that something's up because he's not there attacking. And then Flameberg comes back and tries to bail Gar out this time, because the first time she didn't bring any money, and this time she brought the money, but this time it's a check, and the cop says, "We don't accept checks," and rips it in half, and making her look like a bit of a doof. The cops realize that if Don Dickerson's being attacked and Gar's actually in their cells, it can't be Don.
Logic.
Yeah, logic. Yeah. And Nightwing's still fighting in the pool when the Beast Boy thing has turned into this sort of monster, very monstrous dinosaur lizard thing. Really, really impressive. When Flamebird appears on the scene and starts fighting it, and Yeah, hero team up.
Yay.
And Nightwing stops fighting to give her a bit of the stink eye. It's like, you're not really a proper hero. Let's stop. And while they're doing that, the Beast Boy thing attacks them and pulls them both into the pool and then turns into a giant vulture and flies off saying, you're not taking me anywhere when I'm so close to getting my revenge. Your buddy Beast Boy's going down and there's nothing anyone can do about it. Yeah. And Nightwing blames Bette, but he was the one who stopped and talked to her. So I think he should blame himself. Spend a bit of time in the room full of mirrors, Nightwing.
Take a long, a good long, hard look at yourself, Dick.
Careful.
Yeah, I had to be really careful with that one. Sorry.
Yeah, anyway,
we're back.
At the police station, someone has shown up to bail out Gar and Matt Logan. Matt Logan's in jail too because of the earlier incident. And he's from Halley's Circus. If we know our Nightwing connections, It's probably could be Dick Grayson in disguise wearing a blonde wig. Anyway, yes, so he bails them out and they get outside into the limo. And it's Dick Grayson, surprise. And Bette, Flamebird, is driving the car. So it's always good to see Nightwing and Flamebird together because they've got this old Kandorian connection. There's Nightwing and Flamebird. They're different heroes, but now they're different heroes, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
I've explained that so well. Yeah. Anyway, let's move on.
Please.
Dick, being a bit of a detective, has got the clues, which are the two Chinese coins, because the cops just gave them to him.
Oh, good.
That's what cops do with evidence.
Yes.
Yeah. And he's deduced that it's from Chinatown. It's a game. Actually, Logan gives the clue and says it's called Zhuang. They are Zhang Kui pieces. Zhang what? Anyway, and so it's elephant game. So anyway, so they've got to go to Chinatown to sort this out. And he tells Flamebird to leave them alone, Nightwing, because she's not very useful. Which is a bit of a dick move, yeah.
Mm.
And then we see that Beast Boy is in his Titans red and white semi-Doom Patrol outfit. And he goes off to Chinatown to see what's what. And he comes into a room and it's set up like the set of Space Trek 2020 with the Captain's Bridge chair. And there's all these cardboard cutouts of people. And the person in the chair swings around and it's Madame Rouge.
First of all, I was going to say, what? Because of the set. But what? Because of Madame Rouge.
Yeah. And she is in her great outfit with the, you know, sort of metal segmented arm pieces and the blue boots and gloves and the blue torso bit.
Wow.
You know the one. Yeah.
I know the one.
And behind. Yeah. And all the cardboard cutouts around are sort of reminiscent of Space Trek and the Doom Patrol. So you can see Mento there, you can see Beast Boys, you can see the Chief, you can see Rita. There's a Mala toy. There's different versions of there's Beast Boy related merchandise like Talk cereal and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's the end of the third issue. And
wow.
She says, yeah, and some of the Beast Boy figures around are mutilated and stabbed.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And she says, you lose. And
wow.
She's looking very menacing. And that is the end of the third issue.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's pretty good, eh?
Pretty good. What happens next? Come on.
Oh, yeah. No, that was the end. It was unsuccessful. They never did another story.
Paul?
No, I'm lying. There's four parts. So the final part came out in April 2000 on February 16th, and it's called Beast War. Beast War. Gar is reeling from this revelation that Madame Rouge is before him, and he does a lot of his life flashing before his eyes. So we see a bit of a montage of the Doom Patrol with Cliff and Mento and Chief and Larry and Rita, and then we see a montage of the Brotherhood of Evil in its various Titans forms and original forms, and we see, you know, the Titans and Titans West. Anyway, he springs to action because Madame Rouge is attacking him with her telescopic arms and stuff, so he turns into a bunny and a frog and is hopping around, and then he's a rat, and the whole place is getting wrecked by Madame Rouge, and then he turns into a bull and charges her, and she starts morphing her face, you know, she can shape shift and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And she immediately changes and says her real name is Gemini.
What?
It's not Madame Rouge. Yeah. And she immediately starts to explain her origin and the situation to Gar, which is useful at this
mm-hmm.
point. Yeah. She says that once upon a time, Laura DeMille was a star, one of the screen's Silver Screen's best and brightest, when a tragedy destroyed her career. As a result, Laura DeMille lost her mind literally. It seemed only one man could help her, Dr. Niles Calder.
Oh, no.
She came to him seeking kindness, but all his bitter, crippled heart could offer was pain. Thanks to Calder, Laura DeMille disappeared forever. Only Madame Rouge remained. Alongside the primate Monsieur Mella and the grotesque brain, the original Brotherhood of Evil, they sought revenge on the man who had made them monsters. They succeeded, and it shows the shot of all the Doom Patrol getting blown up. Mm.
Deary me.
Eventually, DeMille fought to reclaim her life. She fell in love, married, and bore a child. I bore children when I talked to them. Anyway, happiness was at last just around the corner until you came along and took it all away. Of course, Madame Rouge was my mother.
Oh. Hang on, is this the very first time we ever see Gemini in DC?
This is the first appearance of Gemini, this miniseries.
Wow.
Yeah. And then she morphs into sort of a younger version of Madame Rouge with a bit more cleavage.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, the 90s.
And then she starts, it's morph fighting time. So she turns into a brown dinosaur. He's a green bear. Lots of clashing and scratching. And, you know, then she's got claws and they're fighting. And then Fear and Loathing turn up. And they've got the stars of Space Trek 2022 tied up. And they are going to kill them.
Huh.
Yeah. And it's all going to be his fault. So that's the scheme. So it's a three-way fight now against Beast Boy.
Mm-hmm.
When suddenly Flamebird appears and she's redone her costume to be more 2000-y and less 80s.
Cool.
It looks actually it's pretty bloody good. And so she's got new Flamebird equipment, like little Flamebird birdarangs.
Did you say Flameburgers?
No, I didn't say Flameburgers.
Right.
Now I feel hungry. Flame birdarangs.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Makes much more sense.
Right.
Anyway, so fight on. Mm. Yeah, and so she takes out Fear and Loathing and leaves Gar to fight Gemini. Gemini is flying off to the Hollywood Hills where the Hollywood sign is, and she has, in the form of a giant, a little bit Game of Thrones dragon. And she is carrying the stars, and she dumps them in front of the sign. And then she's saying, this is our final scene. It's all getting very Hollywood. And then Gar says, cut, rewrite.
Oh,
the
really?
Test audiences hate it. Think sequel potential, baby. Got to have a big, fat opening weekend. And he turns into a hippopotamus as he says, big, fat opening weekend.
Oh, really?
And he says, don't want to get flattened at the box office, and drops on top of her.
Oh, okay, now, see, that sounds like the Gar that I remember from the 60s.
It gets better. She turns into a dinosaur and says, too late, Logan, you're history.
Oh, God. How very punful. I mean, yeah, anyway.
And then he's a gorilla and she's a snake constricting him, which is very Hollywood. And you know, she's going, metamorph to metamorph, yes.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. She forgets that he's been shape-shifting a lot longer than she has.
Mm.
But at one stage in this fight, you like this, she turns into Rita Farr in the middle of the fight.
Oh, that's a bit low.
Yeah, that's psychological. But he's not. He turns into an armadillo and rolls out of the way. And and then he says, I'm going to beat you. I can't beat you as anything other than myself. And then he just turns into regular Gar, punches her in the face as Rita.
Ooh.
And then she turns back into Gemini. As she goes unconscious, he says, I tried, Mommy. I tried so hard. And then Gar's name is cleared. The media are excited. And, yeah, he's ready to get his life back on track. And now he's friends with Flamebird. And, yeah, and she gives him a little handmade star that says, Gar Logan, actor extraordinaire. So maybe one day he will have his name on the Walk of Fame.
Oh.
And then she suggests that they start Titans West again.
Right.
Yeah, and that's the end of the Beast Boy miniseries.
Wow.
And it, yeah, the last image is Bette and Gar walking down Hollywood Boulevard, and you can see sort of an image of Rita watching down on them, smiling.
Oh.
Nice.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, I think that, well, you haven't read this, so you...
I have not read this. No, I was not even aware of this miniseries until we discussed it earlier. So, and now I think I'll have to add it to the collection, because the Doom Patrol, in a way, do make an appearance. So.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of, you know, references to the Doom Patrol and images of the Doom Patrol in it, so it's worthwhile in that sense. Mm. But, I mean, what this was is a sort of shift in Gar from being a sort of very annoying character to being more of a serious one. So then after this, a few years later, Geoff Johns is writing Teen Titans, and he brings Gar back in as a slightly less comic relief person.
Mm.
Yeah, but this comic is reprinted in Teen Titans Beast Boys and Girls trade paperback from 2005, which is mm-hmm. where I've got it from. So that had the miniseries, and then it had a few issues of the Teen Titans after that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also very handily in the Teen Titans by Geoff Johns Omnibus.
Yeah.
So those of you who are filthy rich people.
Yes, lucky them. Cool. No, I'm very keen to track that one down now. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty fun. And it introduces Gemini, who really went on to do nothing. So,
well, I was aware of the name, and she's kind of been around for a little bit. But yeah, just... I was like, I was surprised that it was Madame Rouge that appeared, you know, before Gar. And then it was kind of like, oh, hang on, it's not actually her. I was like, okay, a bit more accepting of that then. So that was cool to see Gemini's introduction there.
Yeah, and in a way, I mean, it's indirectly a little sequel to the New Teens Titans issue where the Doom Patrol, Cliff teams up with the Teen Titans to take down Madame Rouge and the Brotherhood. So.
Yeah.
As revenge or justice. Justice probably is better for the heroes than revenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So all in all, it's good. It's and the art's pretty good. Justiniano, he's still around, I think. Anyway, I like his stuff. He started off very strong. So I wish I could draw like that.
Oh, don't we all?
Yeah.
Don't we
all? But yeah, as I said, I'd love to know the breakdown between what was Ben Raab's and what's Geoff Johns. But I mean... The impression you get is it came from young blokes who had been around Hollywood a bit, you know, trying to make it in some form, which is literally what Geoff Johns was doing before he got into comics.
Uh-huh.
He was Richard Donner's assistant.
Oh, wow.
And did interning and things like that around Hollywood. So
that's very cool.
Yeah.
There you go.
Doomsplanning done.
Well done, Paul. Well done.
Thanks, Mike. Finally, on the mailbag of doom for this week, well, 2 weeks ago, because we had so much time off, we asked people what their favourite final issue is of a comic. And Mike Levine, at BizMichael on Twitter, said, "Why the Last Man?" That is a great choice. Mm. Very good. Yeah.
That's a good one, yeah.
And I realise I need to reread that because I can't really remember the last issue.
I recall kind of what happens to Yorick at the very end of it.
James just yelled out. He jumps out the window behind me.
Pretty much, yeah. That's pretty much it. There's a whole bunch of other stuff, but yeah, go read it. Go read it. Mike Tatooine at Lapine Is Me. He said Transmetropolitan was his favourite final issue.
That's another one I've read, but I can't remember.
Well, that's one I have not read, so I will take Mike's word on that. Yes,
I reckon you would really like Transmet. And it must be collected in, you know, a few trades now. And
I think so. It's quite popular. It must be collected somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. You like Preacher. You'd probably love that.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, I heard from Susan Cotton, who's at @JoeC_mommy. And she said, "I liked FF16, what with its cookout on the moon." I haven't read that, but I like the idea of a cookout on the moon.
That was pretty cool, actually. That was a big party on the moon.
Oh, you remember.
Yeah, it was the one that Matt Fraction did, if I'm thinking of the same series as Susan, with the Future Foundation.
Right.
Yes. So, yeah, that was good fun. Yeah. We heard from Richie O'Hara-Beeman at Rickety OB, and he said, I think he's replying to Mike Lapine here, where he says, great answer, Mike. I think I will join you in that decision. So I'm guessing that's another vote for the final issue of Transmetropolitan.
Yeah. Okay, we heard from Steve T-Shirt Meter, who's at TparkMet, and he said, Kazar 34, or is it Kazar? Kazar. I don't know. Kazar, I'll say. Anyway, the guy who's like a bit like a Marvel Tarzan, that bloke, from 1984. Kazar and crew wind up in the land of cancelled heroes. And got a very science fiction cover for a Tarzan-y type comic.
Right.
I've read the Mark Waid Kazar. That was good.
Okay.
I haven't read it. I haven't read anything else.
Right.
Anyway.
A couple of answers from Martin Gray, at Mart Gray. And he said, Primal Force? Nah, that was the worst. Daredevil 231, Born Again's End? Sadly not. But Matt's story should have ended there. But then he said, Flash 350. Iris and Barry were back together. She's not dead. He's got a new face. And they're off to the 30th century for a lifetime of happiness.
Oh. Yeah, and that lasted for a long time, didn't it? No.
Right, I was going to say, I don't know.
No, that was a few months before Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Oh, okay. Ah, right.
Yeah.
Say no more, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah, but I dispute Martin saying that Daredevil should have ended at the end of Born Again, because there's been a lot of good Daredevil that I've enjoyed after that point.
Right.
As well as before that point. And during that actual point, too. That was a good story. Anyway. Okay. Carry on. Sorry. Me. Mm. Trickle the Vein Moore at Ostracus 1. He said, All-Star Superman 12, an amazing series starring a hero I don't care a lot about. Morrison wrapped up the story perfectly. And we'll skip over the Mike has never read All-Star Superman embarrassment. But
yes, we wouldn't want to mention that out loud, would we, Paul?
No, that would be uncool.
Yes. Nice segue there, friend. We heard from CGX at Confusion Grows on Twitter, who I think is a new first-time writer inner.
Welcome. So
hello, CGX. Welcome. Thank you for listening. Batgirl Volume 3, Number 24.
Ah, the Stephanie Brown Batgirl series.
Ah, very okay.
Lovely series. Great series. Adam Beecham. Fantastic stuff.
Right. I'll just add that one to the list as well.
Okay. Yeah. We heard some Zavisa the Thankful, Doug Zavisa.
Woo-hoo! Doug, woohoo!
Dougie, woo! Doug's been keeping me in Marvel codes quite a lot lately. I very much appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And he said, Aztec, I enjoyed the series, but that final issue was the bow on the present, the cherry on the ice cream. And if I remember correctly, that has Aztec being inducted into the Justice League, or JLA as it was then.
Ooh, so, nice.
Joining the big league.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good work, Aztec. Good work. We heard from Ange at Dr. Ange 70. Dr. Ange, he is the man. He said, Supergirl 80, end of David's run. Linda, weary from her fight, forlorn, angry, becomes a different hero.
Yeah.
He provided us with a couple of pictures there. I believe it's she becomes Bête Noire.
No, that's the name of the city, I think. Yeah, it's Fallen Angel is the comic.
Sorry, that bit was cut off.
Yeah, sorry. But yeah, fine. It's a bit of a fan theory that it was the same character between those two books, though Fallen Angel was, I think, was creator-owned by Peter David. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Update the to-be-read list again. Sorry.
Yeah. And then we finally heard from Greg A. At Garujo. So this is Greg Garujo. He's a great Twitter guy. I love him. Anyway, he said, last issue of James Robinson's Starman run, which is very good. Very, 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 very good. Yes.
Just put that in the list again. Sorry.
Right. No time to record podcasts. Mike, you've got to read all this crap.
Oh, look at this instant library of reading to do. Oh, good. Paul, what's your favorite final issue of a comic series?
Oh, you bastard. You meant to do it first. But I'll go first. There are many, many good final issues, and several of them been mentioned tonight. I mean, I really love the Starman run. The end of Hitman, really good one.
Yes.
But I think I'll keep it all Doom Patrol-y, and I'll say the end of Doom Patrol Volume 5. which is when the Doom Patrol are in the middle of a battle, and I think Ambush Bug is on their side at this point.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And yes, and we've got Mr. Somebody, who is the evolution version of Mr. Nobody.
Yes.
And Mr. Somebody and Ambush Bug have a little chat about what's happening, and then you hear one of them say, "I don't know what a flashpoint is, but let's get out of here." And they basically bail on the comic, and the comic ends.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very classy way to end that series unexpectedly.
Mm. Yes. Yeah. For my pick, I'm going to go... again, lots of good ones have already been mentioned. One that stuck with me in recent times, for the last couple of years, I will say Amazing Spider-Man number 700, which was...
Wrong. Oh, sorry, sorry.
Wow.
Inner voice, Paul.
So glad you're back. Amazing Spider-Man 700, because that was just this big dust-up, the big wrap-up, the big culmination of all these storylines, and it was the lead-in point to Superior Spider-Man. So it kind of ended on a big bang with Peter Parker dying, but Otto Octavius kind of taking over his body, and it was so well done. It was such a great read, and that's the storyline that got me into Spider-Man, and actually had me going back and buying the preceding trades to get up to that point, to get caught up to it all. So it was really cool, and just to see, you know, the villain actually win, that was it blew me away. It was awesome. It was awesome. Of course, I love all the final issues of the Doom Patrol series, but that goes without saying, really. But yeah, Amazing Spider-Man 700 was a great read for me.
So, yeah. The final issue of the Burn Super Patrol, Doom Patrol, was pretty good too, because it ended. Paved the way for something else.
Didn't it just? Didn't it just? Anyway, yeah.
All right, I must admit, I do like a bit of Superior Spider-Man.
Yeah. It's a good one. It's a good one.
Edit that out, please. Thank you.
Sure. Which bit?
Bit where I say I like a Marvel comic. Anyway, that would be the end of Mailbag of Doom.
And that brings us to the end of this episode. So, thanks for listening. If you want to get in touch with us, you can contact us on Twitter at WFDpod. Say hi to Wilfred while you're there. You can email us at waitingfordoom@gmail.com, or you can contact us on the Waiting for Doom Facebook page. What are we going to be talking about in the next issue, Paul?
Issue? We do episodes here, but anyway.
So rusty.
It is actually the 1 year anniversary of us starting this little podcast thing. So, it's the anniversary of Doom.
Yay!
So, we wanted to ask everybody. This is a bit indulgent, but it's our podcast, so what the hell?
Wow.
What's your fave thing about the show? And I reckon I'll also take audience questions if you want to ask us anything, or if you just want us to get to say things in our accents, like you want us to say banana.
Oh God! You did not just. You know we're going to get bombarded with stupid things to say now.
Hey, I don't mind.
You know we're going to get bombarded with even more stupid things to say.
I can say stupid things anytime.
So we would like to know what you have enjoyed about the first year of Waiting for Doom. So yeah, it's, as Paul said, a little bit self-indulgent, but why not?
Yeah. Anyway, and we are continuing next year, which should make everyone happy if you enjoy the show. If you don't enjoy the show, it should make you sad. But what are you doing listening? Ever think about it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, people hate watching a show, you know, or hate listening to a podcast. Why? Why would you do that?
Yeah. Anyway, should we wish people Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year? Well, Merry Christmas to start with.
Happy holidays,
whatever you have.
Unless
you're a white supremacist, don't have a happy one. Think about your life. Anyway.
Everyone be cool and chill out and have a safe and happy end of the year. I think we should definitely say a big thank you to everyone that has listened to the show this year and supported us. And, you know, we've actually made friends through this show. Wouldn't you agree, Paul?
I think so. And we've talked to some really cool people. We've had some fantastic guests on the show. We've had a few comic professionals on the show. Mm-hmm. It's been very rewarding personally.
Yes. It's been a lot of fun to put the show on and to have people enjoy us talking about the greatest super team ever, the Doom Patrol. And Paul, I want to thank you for being part of it. I could not do this show without you. So thank you for joining me in our regular patrolling sessions.
Thank you, Mike, and thank you for everything that you do. You are the financial backer of the show. You're the Maxwell Lord to this Justice League.
Oh, you bastard.
No, I'm talking 80s Maxwell Lord, not 2000s Maxwell Lord.
Okay. Okay, all right.
Yeah, no one has to kill you.
Right. That's good.
We're all good. You are Thea Jost of this.
Okay, look, let's just quit while we're behind with that. Let's wrap it up there, Paul. Thank you again, everyone. We will catch you again next year for more Waiting for Doom.
Yes.